Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. I was really encouraged by all your sharing earlier through the testing. It was just overflowing of life, and that was very cherished and nourished. So this is the way we bear fruits. We just abide in the vine, enjoying all the riches of Christ's life, and spontaneously this life flow out of us, and we bear fruits. So we're coming to the end of this this line of living a fruit-bearing life. So in the Gospel of John, we see this picture. The Lord said, "I am the vine, and we are the branches." So see, we see this picture of this divine incorporation, this organism of the triune God and man. So the Lord is the vine, and we are branches. What we do with the branches is just to abide in the vine. And the function of the branches when we abide in the vine is to bear fruits. That is very simple. And as we bear fruits, we see the Father prunes us so we may bear more fruits. So this is the Father's heart. The Father desires fruits. As we enjoy Christ as our life, we contact God and being saturated with God. It's easy for us to get into God's feeling, to get into heart's desire. So as a father desires fruits, it should be the same for us. Our feeling is we should desire bear fruits as well. Amen. So that's why we're coming to the last message. Maybe we can all read message 5, the title for message 5 together. Amen. Bearing fruit by contacting people directly, personally, and continually. So you might say, oh, that sounds a lot of work. But the thing is, to bear fruit is easy, but it's not so easy to bear remaining fruits. So that on our side, we need to cooperate with God, to open to God, to cooperate with Him, to actively have this attitude, to have this desire to bear fruits. And this requires a lot of practice. It requires a lot of consideration. So the way is to contact your people directly, personally, and continually. So in John chapter 15, 5, the Lord said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So it seems like this is a to-do list. But actually, the source is God. What we do is we're abiding Him. He's the source. We're not doing anything from our natural strength. But actually, the strength, the source is God, is the triune God Himself. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. We need to Amen. So the key word here, I think, is very clear, is directly, personally, and continually. So here it says we need to contact people by ourselves. So it means that, you know, you can't just say, oh, I know this person. How about you contact that person and bear remaining fruits for me? We have to contact people by ourselves. We need to take the responsibility to contact people. And we need to consider the way we contact people. So the way we contact people is directly. So it means it's ourselves. We need to take the initiative. And it's personally. What does it mean personally? Personally means it's according to their condition and their situation. It's not according to our convenience. It's not like, okay, I have some time right now. Maybe I'll go contact people. It doesn't matter if he has time or not. I did my part. It shouldn't be that way. And continually means it's more than once. We can't expect the miracle to bear remaining fruits just by contacting people once. Oh, okay, I spoke gospel to this person, okay, and he remained the church life forever. It is very likely it's not going to happen. So we need to continually contact the people. That requires a lot of patience, and this patience is from abiding in the vine. The source should be from the Lord. Let's read point 8 altogether. Amen. So we see we need to desire to bear remaining fruits. And also we need to make a decision so it doesn't come naturally. We need to decide to exercise our will to cooperate, to contact people. Amen. Let's read point B together. Amen. So we see the Lord Jesus is a perfect example of contacting people directly, personally, and continually. Like Brother David shared yesterday, in Gospel of John, there's a super Jew, Nicodemus, right? So it seems like he has everything a human being could want in this world. He has fame. He's like honorable. He's a moral person. He's very knowledgeable. He's the ruler of the Jew. He has authority. But he lacked one thing, which is God's eternal life. So he has a need, and the Lord Jesus can satisfy him. So the Lord didn't contact him according to his own convenience. It's not like, Nicodemus, let me give you eternal life. This is what you need. Because Nicodemus, he has his situation. Because he's so reputable, he's very shy. He doesn't want people to know that he has a need. He doesn't want people to know that he wants to contact the Lord Jesus. So that's why the Lord was waiting for him in his house at night. So Nicodemus would have this chance to visit the Lord Jesus at night, which nobody knows, privately. So that's how the Lord Jesus contacted Nicodemus, so he can be regenerated. Amen. The other example is the Samaritan woman. So it's kind of like the opposite. This one, the Lord Jesus, he has to pass through Samaria to make a detour to contact this woman. Because of her situation, she also doesn't want anybody to. She doesn't want to meet people. You know, it was like at noon. This is the hottest time of the day, and she's getting water all by herself. And at that time, the Lord Jesus approached her and shepherded her, nourished her, gave her to drink the living water. Let's read point C altogether. Amen. So we all always say, like, bear fruits. When we're talking about fruits, it's like, oh, it's a plant. It does not have any feelings. Do we really see that the fruits we're bearing is our spiritual children? Mm-hmm. You see, for example, if one couple, right, recently had a newborn baby, and they just had this newborn baby at the hospital, then immediately they left the baby at the hospital, they went home and never contact that baby ever again. That would be really weird. But the thing is, that's our situation. We should have this awareness that the fruits we're bearing is our spiritual children. We have responsibilities. That's why we need to make a serious decision. Why we need to make a serious decision? This is because there's consequences. Imagine that baby, that baby's parents never contact that baby ever again. What would happen to that baby? So we need to make a serious decision and take responsibility to contact people directly, personally, and continually. Amen. Let's read point D together.
We need to devote time contacting people.
Amen. So here, we need to focus on that we need to devote time. It's not just like spending time to contacting people. Spending time with the people, to contact people whenever we're free, whenever it's convenient for us. It's like Monday afternoon, I have nothing to do. Oh, maybe I can't go contact people. We shouldn't have this attitude. We should be serious and consider consequences. So that's why here use the word devote. That means this activity takes priority. Like Brother David mentioned that his wife wants to get a dog, right? So once they get a dog, they need to devote time to take care of that dog. It's not like, okay, today I want to play with the dog, I'll take care of that dog, and for the next month, I'll be very busy, forget about the dog. No, it shouldn't be that bad. Shouldn't be like that. And we need to devote time, make a serious decision to mean business with the Lord, and to contact people directly, personally, and continually. Amen. And now, maybe we can have some, Stephanie from Calgary give us a short testimony to show us how she contacted people directly, personally, and continually. Amen.
So my name is Stephanie, and I'm from Calgary. I go to a university called Mount Royal University. It's not the main campus, but it's a campus in Calgary. So my freshman year, I had met this woman called Juanita. And in my freshman year, I heard about the multiplying of fruit. And what that is you grab a fruit in the first year, and eventually they'll have a fruit, and then by your second year, you already have another fruit. So it just multiplies like a branch. So I really wanted that in my experience in my college years. So I really consecrated that to the Lord. But it wasn't the case in my life that I got those multiplying. But the Lord was still faithful in the sense that I needed to learn that I needed a personal time with the Lord, that I needed to get to know my God before I could even share this God to someone. This happened in the beginning of my college years, where I started enjoying the Lord more. I found a home. I learned about the homes and that you really needed a net place for your fruit. So by the second year, I still didn't have a baby, but I really wanted a baby. Just as the Lord desires some, I felt like that love was put in me to desire for one too. What more joy is it for someone to receive that same life that you have? So I kept praying, and the Lord gave me a companion. So I kept praying for her, with her, and I kept praying with my home meeting. But still, there was no baby. Until, again, Juanita came up many times. And for some reason, we had many classes together. Even though I thought she was, like, the least person I would talk to about the Lord. But, you know, there's always the right person and the right time and the right place. So during her program of environment, which has nothing to do with my program, for some reason, the Lord kept us meeting. And even just to study and to have random classes together, she felt stressed. So praise the Lord for the word, because in our home meeting, just at that time, we had talked about stress and anxiety. And I had the proper word at the proper time. And I got to speak to her about this matter. And she asked me, like, why don't you stress so much? And I was like to myself, should I give her the truth? Or should I just tell her, you know, it's just stress? But the Lord spoke through me, and I got to tell her that it was God. God is my comfort. And I seek God in these moments and with the body. So I got to tell her about the economy, and she asked, where can I go and find this? So I told her about the home meetings, and I brought her to a home. Sadly, the enemy kept on bombarding her, and he wouldn't let her come to the home meetings on Monday. So I considered, well, why would I just go with one home meeting when there's so many home meetings in a week? So I brought her to another home meeting, and that was my Spanish home meeting. And there she felt at home, and not only just because of the culture-wise that she could speak Spanish there, but because she had a family now, and she got to eat there every Friday. So she really enjoyed that as a student. But in my third year, that's when Juanita got saved on the third year, and I was able to speak to her continually. And actually, I was worried, and I was in my mind, because I had found out she had a boyfriend. And I was like, oh, Lord, he's going to take her away, and we put all these concepts in her head. But actually, the Lord, through Juanita, caused him to come to a home meeting. And he got saved as well. So praise the Lord. The Lord has his ways, and we don't understand them. But just do it, Lord. So now it's through the directly and personally connection with her, getting to know her, and, you know, everybody has problems. So it's good to know, get to know them personally and humanly, just take care of them. So that in this way now, continually, sometimes I just text her up, or she texts me up, which is so, it's weird now, because now she's shepherding me. I ask, and she tells me, let's go grab a coffee, and let's talk about the Lord. Or she has so many questions. This is why we need the body, because I have no answers. But with the body, the Lord can shepherd her. And she just asks and asks, and the Lord is just continually reaching her. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Amen. So I just want to read you another verse. It's John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So we see this is the Lord's charge for us. He has set us that we should go forth to contact people directly, personally, and continually. You know, in ourselves, we're very complicated people. We like to make things complicated. I appreciate the Lord is really simple. Like last night, Brother Glenn shared that the way to accomplish God's economy, to change sinners into the sons of God, wow, seemingly such a big project. Actually, the way to execute it is very easy. It's just by eating the Lord. Amen. We just take the Lord in one bite at a time. So the same way when we're coming to bearing remaining fruits, we should take a simple way. Now I'm going to hand it to Brother John. He's going to share with us this simple way.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a rich training. Brother Boyer and I appreciated that this is a line, right? Like all the messages, there's progression. So even we were considering, we need the Lord to prune us, right? Firstly, we need a burden. If we just care for me, myself, and I, the Lord can't do much, right? And then as we have a burden and we're before the Lord and we say, Lord, I like that term, a baby, you know? It's very endearing. Even Brother Daniel said, you know, we can have a sweet name that we just speak to the Lord, right? Sometimes fruit is a good term, and it's a biblical term, but, you know, a baby, really, that puts the perspective. They need care. And that, so we saw earlier this week that there needs to be the pruning. The Lord, certain things in us, our convenience, our free time. To have a baby, it infringes upon your schedule, right? But today's burden, as Boyo and I were getting into it, we seem to feel there's this sense here that it needs to be repeated, right? Even with the baby. So we have a little one on the way, my wife and I, and he not born yet, but already you have to go to the doctor a lot more than you ever do as an individual, you know? Y'all are pretty probably healthy, yearly checkup or something, but we've been having to go every, you know, 2 months. Then as it gets closer, it gets to be more and more continual. So there's a burden here that this is something that is repeated. Those key words in the title, right? Continually. So let's all read Roman 2 here.
We need to take a simple way to bear remaining fruit.
That word is impressive because if you're feeling like I was, you may think this is overwhelming, but this is a simple way, right? It's actually not complicated. The Lord doesn't call us to do things that are extremely, that are impossible, right? We know the life in us can do it. We shall be perfect in Matthew, right? Matthew 5:48 says, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Right there, the term Father is there, right? That implies the life supply will supply us to do what our natural life can't do. But the divine life is very able to do this. So there's a simple way to bear remaining fruit. And the rest of the outline will bring us into what this simple way is. So step number one is we need to make a vow to the Lord. That's just, it seems to me like that's along the lines of a consecration. It's more than, yeah, this sounds good. Lord, this college training had some good points, and you know, it seems like this is what you're after, Lord. You want to build your body. Maybe I'll do it. But a vow is a serious word, right? It's more than a yes. It's more than an agreement. Actually, the term marriage, there's vows, right? So that's a serious thing. But once again, be encouraged, right? Don't be scared. You vow to the Lord, and He will come in to supply that need. So secondly, let's read B together. Amen. So there's already been a lot of fellowship this week on this, right? To be revived day by day. That's where our romance with the Lord begins, right? Is the first thing in the morning. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day." So as Christians, we need to have a revival each day that we could be shining, right? Starting from the morning. Lamentations 3:23 says, "His compassions are new every morning." So if we want to have the compassions, touch the compassions of God, to have compassion on our fellow man, we need to touch the compassionate one, right? Otherwise, who here, you don't have to raise your hand. I'll speak for myself, right? I wake up, there's a lot of things in my mind, and a lot of them are just related to me, myself, and I. What do I need to get done? Right? But we touch the compassionate one and we get the bubbling over from him, right? His heart for others. So at this point, we wanted JL from Boise was going to share with us her experience. And as she's sharing, Boyu and I thought a good focus in her sharing is pay attention to, there's a component here of how the morning revival has an effect on what she'll share with us about fruit bearing.
Hi, I'm JL, and I want to tell you about my friend Stephanie. I met her my senior year of high school in an art class, and during that class, you get a lot of time to talk to the people around you. So throughout that whole school year, we talked a lot, me and Stephanie and two other girls at our table. And through getting to know her, I learned that she had a lot of suffering in her human life just through her physical limitation, and also she just had social anxiety and things like that. So I saw that she had a need, and I also learned that she grew up going to a church, but she kind of got burned by it because she could see that there was no life there. So she was a very genuine person, and she could see right through anyone who wasn't being genuine with her. And there was another Christian girl who sat at our table, and I think she saw it too. And she tried to share something with Stephanie, but it was more like, this is what you need to do. And Stephanie didn't take it. She just wouldn't respond. So I was really burdened for her because I knew I had something that could help her in her suffering. So I kind of just prayed on my own my senior year, and then we graduated, and we were both still in Fullerton, California, and I kept in touch with her. We would text each other sometimes, but I never directly shared the Lord with her. And then at one point, I started praying with a sister once a week about gospel contacts, and so I told her about my friend, and we would pray for a way that I could invite Stephanie to something or share something with her, because it was such she wasn't a difficult person, but it was a very specific situation. So I needed a specific way to speak to her about the Lord. And so we just prayed, and every week the sister would ask me, "So did you invite her to something?" And every week I would say, "No, I didn't." And at one point I did invite her over on a Friday afternoon, and I was kind of thinking, like, oh, maybe if she stays a little bit later, then I'll be like, oh, and we actually have a home meeting on Fridays, if you want to stay. But she kind of saw through that, so she didn't come. So, anyways, I just kept in touch with her. And then about a month ago, I got sick just for one day. And the day before I had gotten sick, I had talked to her. and she had opened up to me about how she just felt really weak, and I felt like that was the Lord giving me the opportunity, like, here you go. Here's the perfect conversation set up that you can share something. But I didn't know what to say, and so I waited on it, and then the next day I was super sick. And so I just prayed about it with the Lord. I spent a lot of time with the Lord that day because I couldn't do anything else. And I typed up a text, because we just communicated through text, about how I was taking the Lord as my strength that day, even though he wasn't changing my situation. And I also, I read the text to my mom because I was really nervous. And I didn't want to approach Steffi in a way that was preaching to her, because she would see that. And so she would, I don't know, I was just afraid that she would just shut down or not respond, or I don't know. So I talked to my mom and I felt good about it. So I sent her the text and she responded really positively about the Lord. And so we had a little conversation, and then it kind of ended. So I was like, okay, that was good. And I wasn't really sure what to do next. So just throughout, you know, sometimes I would think of her and pray for her. And then my family ended up moving away, but I'm still burdened for her. And then last week, I had a really solid morning time, and I shared about it on Instagram. And then she commented and said something like, oh, I love you and miss you, or something like that, as a response to my sharing of the Lord. And so I was like, wow, she responded to that. So I was just, I've just been seeing that my long-term prayer for her with my prayer companion, and I actually also prayed for her in my home meeting, and then just on my own and sharing piece by piece and with her, she's seeing something of the Lord. And so, yeah, and also, the trend was that after I had a really solid time with the Lord, my overflow touched her. So, yeah, that's my story with Stephanie. Still keeping in touch with her, but, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that encouraging? Amen. And I thought a awesome component of JL and Stephanie's story as well. We were getting together and kind of in the cafeteria last night, just debriefing on how this time would go, is the distance of a move didn't cut off the relationship, right? I can't tell you, Saints, how many times I haven't done a lot, but I participated in some blending trips. And one was in Vancouver and then in Bellingham. And you get a lot of names at a table. And sadly, my attitude's kind of been, okay, well, I got to go. You know, I'm going heading back to my hometown. So here you go, Saints. In that locality, right? And they're overwhelmed. There's lists of names, right? So actually, the enemy has used a lot of things of this age and technology in damaging ways, but also the Lord uses them, right? You know, we shouldn't take any excuses for ourselves. Through the internet, through texting, right? We all realize that these are ways that they're still a way. Face to face, there's something irreplaceable there, but there's still a way, right? We can shepherd ones in this way. The third point. So remember the first one, right? We need to make a vow to the Lord. Lord, I want to be a one who bears fruit, and Lord, you'll supply me in this, right? He'll supply. Secondly, we need to be touching the Lord in the morning. When we're revived, it doesn't feel like it's a forceful thing. We just have something to overflow. And third, we need to practice. Boyu and I were considering this example. If we all went to the gym right now, and we had 183 basketballs, and everybody lined up on the free throw line, you pretend you've never shot a hoop in your life, or a basket in your life. I don't know, maybe some people would make it just by the odds, but if you've never done it, you've never done this motion in your entire life, what are the odds it's going to work? It takes practice, right? Anything in human life takes practice. So the enemy would loves to, I think, frustrate us, and, oh, that didn't go well. Oh, you know, that one closed the door, or this or that, right? But we need to practice. It's just everything in our life requires practice, right? And also we'll notice that on point C here, the last two words are every week. So our life, many things in our life are built on a weekly time frame, you know. It's just we have a rest every week on Saturday. We have a Lord's table every week on the Lord's Day. Things are built around this. So we don't want to drag out our contact with them to multiple weeks. You know, don't be condemned if that happens, but ideally it's best to be in touch with them frequently, right? Because although they may not verbalize it, they're wanting the supply. They're looking forward to it. Actually, as I was studying yesterday, the Lord put on my heart, there's some ones from a month ago that came to the table, and I haven't been in touch with them, you know? And so it was like, just need to cut out some time. It's not that hard, right? And now, at this point, Sarah from Mexico is going to share with us her experience that's related to this point. She will share more things, but pay attention also to how hers has this component. Actually, I haven't shared much on it yet, but in this point, it's about also companions can help us to do this.
I'm Sarah from Mexico, Cuauhtémoc, and I'm the only college student in my locality, and also I'm the only college student in my campus. So it's very easy to just do everything in yourself, to pray in yourself, just stay more in yourself. And last year, at the college training, they had a lot. I was very touched about that we need to have companions. Like Daniel had companions, and all the believers in the Bible, they have companions. And so I came very desperate to the Lord and told him, I don't have a companion. You need to get me a companion. And that's when two sisters from Mexico City, they contacted me. And then we started just praying over phone. Like, this, it's a distance, and today we have technology, so we could pray every week. And then we started to pray for my campus. And it was very interesting that I had a friend, and she is a Catholic, like most of my classmates. And I always would consider her as a very strong Catholic. And I was like, no way, Lord, I can't talk to her because she's very strong in what she believes. But it was the second week, and we had been praying for the whole summer, and it was the second week of school, and she came to me and asked me if I was a Christian, and I said yes, and then she opened up to me about her condition, and she wasn't okay with some things that what they did in her church. So she opened up to me, and I told her that there was in some campuses in Mexico, what they did, they would gather on the campus and read the Bible together. So she said, yeah, we should do that. And that's when we started to read every week. After school, we would stay in the class. When everyone left, we would stay there and just read. And sometimes she would just talk about her problems, talk about her life, and she would have a lot of questions. But then we would also read. And what really helped me in this is that I would pray with the sisters. Every day when I knew we were going to read, we would be calling. We would read the portion that we were going to read. And then we would just pray about it. And it was very encouraging how helpful it was when we would pray together. There was a big difference those days that we didn't pray compared to the days we prayed. There was more life, and she was hungrier. And even sometimes when one week wouldn't work out, then we didn't really pray. So when we would pray again, then there would be problems coming up, and she would come to me and say, yeah, we need to pray, we need to read again. She wanted to talk to me, and so it was very encouraging how companions, even though they're far away, but praying with someone and spending time with someone and then contacting the new ones, how helpful that is. And sometimes I wasn't very encouraged because if it wouldn't work out every week, but still, I was still there, and she knew that. And sometimes she would come to me and ask me, so can we do it this week again? And also, what I learned during this time is that I had to be very flexible. Sometimes the last semester we would do it on a Saturday in the morning, and then I always go home for the weekend because I don't live at home during the week. So I would go home, and I wanted to go home. I had to do stuff to do at home, and I had homework. But I had to give my time, and she would come later than she said. But that the enjoyment made it up for it. So always those days that were maybe a little bit later, I enjoyed even more. So I had to be flexible and devote a certain time to the Lord, like, this is your time. And even for the time to pray and to read and in the morning get up earlier to just be revived, I had to give the time. Sometimes I could have done so much more things. I could have studied and stuff. But I had that time. I told her, this is your time. And when I did that, I really saw that she was enjoying it. So she got saved. And even now, there was a national conference in Mexico City. She came with me, and she was really encouraged. So that just encouraged me to contact people weekly and give a time to the Lord. Tell the Lord, this is your time. Use this time that you can grow in her.
Amen. So encouraging also, right? I just felt like all three of these sisters, did you get the impression they were just gritting their teeth and just trying to do something that was so hard? And right, it's an enjoyment. Yes, there is the component of sacrificing, as Sarah just said, some of our free time, some of our convenience, right? But it's a joy. Fruit bearing is a joy. That's how we're made as Christians. And so I just appreciate it in this point. It's okay to start by ourselves. You know, a vital group begins with one vital person, right? And then you get others to enter into your same burden. Sometimes I've considered I can use it as an excuse. Oh, it needs to be twos and threes. And twos and threes is an excellent thing. But if you don't have an automatic two and three right then, right? I can't say, oh, well, when Brian and Brian ask me, then I'll join them. But, you know, if perhaps the start of it is not that you need to go start speaking to people right away. You can ask the brothers to start praying. And then out of that, you burn each other, right? You get the fire gets going. And plan and schedule this time, right? As Boyu shared, it's not so good if it's just our convenience. Because if you have a random slot open 1 week, chances are next week it won't be the same time. So just like we plan our meals, we plan our showers, we plan our classes, how much more important is this, right? It's something eternal. And I just felt burdened getting into this to bring out Luke 16, 8 and 9. These are two verses in the book of Luke that paint a picture of the master wanting his... I'll just read them. So Luke 16, 8. And the master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted prudently. He didn't praise him because he actually gave less, but because he was desperate. And he said, for the sons of this age are more prudent in their dealings with their own generation than the sons of light. And then the next verse, make friends for yourself by means of the mammon of unrighteousness. So it is exposing that for my work, I've got to be there early in the morning. And if I'm late, you know, I know when I have to be there. But to the meetings, it's like, oh, Lord. So in that sense, how do we treat the things of our Lord? You know, if we want to have a profitable business, we all realize it can't just be on a whim. There's certain things. So actually, this outline, I really appreciate getting into it, and I even feel like it's helpful for future reference. There's terms in here that sound very businesslike, but the word says, right, that the sons of this age do their business in a more diligent way than us, as the sons of light. So there are definite numbers in this outline, 2 or 3 hours a week. You know, we may not be there yet. I'm not there yet, but it's a good goal. It's something we can aspire to, right? And then just one other point. It's good to make a list of our acquaintances. You know, we all have friends, right? We all have coworkers or classmates or grandma or grandpa that aren't saved yet, relatives. And these are all the ones. I was so helped. Any person is the right person, right? You know, in the reading portion, related to this portion, it brings out actually people. It's good to hand out tracts on the street, but those people, it's highly unlikely that you may ever see them again. I mean, you may, right? But the ones in our area, we know where they are. We know what classes they're in. We know where they live. So these kind of people actually are good for a repeated follow-up. Not to discount gospel cards, right? Those can work well as well. I think that's about all saints. Maybe we could all read the focus together.